Little shameless plug there, but yes, we do use Riverside. If you don't join us via video on the YouTube or on the Spotify video podcasting, then there is a nice little plug there for the Riverside FM mobile app. It's a great little tool. It's a great little just app. It's great for when I'm on the go. It's great for wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, or when I have guests that are on the go as well. It's just so convenient. It's so fantastic. Welcome into another episode of Dynasty Down Under, Bluey Ballers Edition. Thanks for joining your favorite 12 bandits who are NBA junkies, fantasy sports junkies, and dads who are just here for a good time. And, well, it's a dynasty league, so we're all in for a long time, too. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the league's weekly recap, free agent, and trade reactions, because we got some good ones, including ChatGPT analysis, as some NBA news, rumors, and again, we're going to hit the prospect previews, rookie reviews, and sophomore slumps or nah, and we're going to look into some injury fill-ins as the injuries are low-key starting to pile up. So, we're going to jump right in to our weekly recap of the league. Actually, we're going to recap the end of the previous week, because the last time I recorded was Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Sorry, let's actually transition. Was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and with that, I just really wanted to make sure that we covered all the moves, everything that was happening, just to kind of give you an idea of who's kind of been dropped, and some guys that you may be able to look out for in your own home Dynasty Leagues. Dynasty Leagues, of course, we're going to have expanded rosters, so the depth of these drops is going to be a little bit deeper. So, 10 days ago, we're going back. I had dropped Dorian Finney-Smith, actually, because I was just over him. I had made a trade for him to acquire him a few weeks ago. Since I dropped him about 10 days ago, he's been averaging 15, 18 fantasy points, which would be great, but he's 30. He's in year 7. Yes, he's a starter. He runs with the ones in Brooklyn, but he's not, like, the main guy. So he averages about 15 fantasy points a night. He was inconsistent. He hadn't really done anything great for me, so I was just ready to move on and go a little bit younger. I tried to bait him in some trades, but it just never worked out. That's okay. Next was Ben Shepherd. He was dropped, Indy guard. And then we saw Davion Mitchell get dropped, Sacramento guard. Thanksgiving, Zaire Williams, Memphis guard. Been dropped. He just hasn't really come into anything, playing 22 minutes, about 10 fantasy points a night when he does play, third-year guard out of Stanford. Someone that, if he's in your Dynasty League, if you have room on your bench, might not be the worst. If Desmond Bane gets hurt, then I would imagine Zaire Williams gets some more playing time. Julian Champ, he hasn't been amazing. He's had one boom game at 26 points. Outside of that, he really gets sparse playing time over the last couple weeks since the 8th. You know, 16 minutes, 20, 25, 30, 16, 22, 22, 20. So about 20 minutes a night last couple weeks. So that's valuable. You never know when he's going to pop off. He's popped off for 15 points. That night when he boomed, he played 30 minutes, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks, 2 turnovers. So, of course, if the opportunity is there, Champagne can get you some points. Someone that you may want to look at, especially when the Spurs decide, oh, Sochan is not a point guard, and stop making him be a point guard. Let's see, we talked some Thanksgiving talk. Then we saw a trade. We saw a trade for Ja Morant, was traded over to Poppin' with T and a 2026 second. You know, overall, I like that trade. We'll have ChatGPT analyze that here in a bit. Jayson Tate was dropped. Solid. Jose Alvarado was picked up by Poppin' with Thibaut. I like that move for him. I think that's a good move. Alvarado is a solid piece there. Third-year guard out of Georgia Tech. He was hurt to start the season. He came back. He hasn't really played more than 22 minutes in a game. So, obviously, the opportunity is limited. He is just a straight point guard. He's 6 feet tall. So, overall, once he does get some opportunity, work back into that rotation, I'm sure 20 minutes, 20, 25 a night will look really good for him, and he'll be valuable. Dorian Finney-Smith was picked back up. Johnny Davis, point guard for Washington, was dropped. It's always important to pay attention who's being dropped in your leagues, because it's going to be guys who are probably younger, haven't really had an opportunity yet. Like Johnny Davis, he hasn't played more than 15 minutes in a night yet. So obviously the opportunities are there, but he plays for Washington. So you never know when they're just going to flip the script, do whatever. I picked up Jabari Walker. I really liked him. I liked what I've seen so far. I had a couple guys go down to injury, so I was able to squeeze a couple guys on the back of my bench. I picked him up following the Utah game on the 22nd, where he had 26 fantasy points. Since then, he hasn't really done much, but he's getting inconsistent opportunities. So part of the problem is the lack of consistency, but when he does get the consistency, it's 100% there. And he does really well, gets double-digit boards, can post a double-double. Najee Marshall, someone else I picked up. Again, a fourth-year guard out of Xavier. Fourth-year forward out of Xavier, I'm sorry. He has had some solid games when he's getting about 20-plus minutes a night. He just had a game where he played 27 minutes, put up 24.5 fantasy points, 14 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 turnover. So 50% from the field in that game. So it looked really good. So we really like showings like that, as we just hope that these guys carve out a role at this point in the season. We're in week 6. I dropped Jonathan Isaacs. I dropped Grayson Allen. Isaacs, just he wasn't doing much. I don't think he has been doing much still. Very sparse playing time coming back from injury. Hasn't really eclipsed the 20-minute mark yet this season, actually. Fifth-year guard, he has kind of gotten buried behind, like, Franz Wagner and those guys there, Goga Bitadze. So he's kind of buried in the rotation. Grayson Allen, he has been playing starter minutes, but he's been so streaky with those minutes. It was a big reason why I dropped him, because even when he played 43 minutes, he only put up 17.5 points. But you never know when it's going to be his night, when he's going to get his turn, when he's going to get his. His season high in points is 26, season high in boards is 9, and season high in assists looks to be 5. So definitely he's just got to get on the floor and just put together a string of consistent games. Skylar Mays was dropped. He was a waiver wire pickup earlier this year that a lot of people really liked. Since then, he hasn't really done much since he hasn't had the playing time with guys like Scoot. Since Scoot's been back, so of course you're going to lose opportunity to a high-end rookie like that. So we'll keep your eye on Caleb Martin. The Miami Heat love Caleb Martin. This was a solid pickup. I really like this pickup. Returning from injury, he's played 15, 12, 30, 17, 26, 21, 25, 25 minutes. He hasn't done much in fantasy production, but he's getting the minutes. He's putting up points in the last, since the 25th, 22, 2, 14, 2, 14, 14. So he's finding it again. He's really trying to find his flow out there on the floor. But the Heat love them some Caleb Martin. He was actually a piece that was big time requested in that Dame Lillard trade. But they said, nope, we're going to keep who we got. Then we go into our weekly recap. So we finally made it to our weekly review. So a lot of things happened over the end of Thanksgiving week. But again, it was a really fun week. And we'll go into what that looked like. Let me just pull it up on my phone here. Just because I like to keep you guys going with a chronological timeline of kind of what's happening in our league. So our best team was Team Mitchman 95, posted 302. Worst team, Pavola and Popovich, 200.5. Highest scoring picks, Hallie, Booker, Tatum, Giannis, Jokic, of course. Most efficient manager was Mitch Mann, 302. Least efficient, who was it? Chris Cross, 200. Puzini had a 267.5, highest points in a loss. And then Laura Sage had the lowest points in a win at 246. So he's put together back-to-back weeks after his fire sale. So far, our top free agent average fantasy points, you got Aaron Holiday at 12, Grayson Allen at 10, Caleb Martin at 13, Ken Williams, Kendrick Williams at 13.5, and then Mortiz Wagner at 13. Overall, I ended up losing to Mitch Mann, 302-250. Magic Claws ended up beating Puzini, 285.50 to 267.50. Discount Presti, with the name change recently, ended up putting together another win, beating Classic Strike. Team Poppin' with Tebow put up 282.5 versus Pavola and Pop 200. Poppin' with Tebow improves to a league best 5-0. To Infinity Wimbeyond, lost to Asar's Dad Rules 270 to 260-50. And then All Balls No Bite lost to that blue guy 252 to 264. So that was kind of our week recap as it stands right now. Poppin' with Tebow is 5-0. First, Mitchman in second at 3-2. Magic Claws in third with at 3-2. Ballin' with Paulo 3-2. That's our top four. That really rounds out our weekly recap. Let's transition into this week and to what our moves look like. Because some of these, I think you're going to want to pay attention to, because some of these guys may be out there in your leagues, and it's going to be worth checking if you can also cash in. So Nicholas Batum was the first waiver wire pickup of the week. Batum has cut, he's played starter minutes, he's played bench minutes, he's just been getting minutes since the trade. 15-year vet, Nicholas Butthole, as he's been called in leagues before, my leagues personally, on my team, I've been referred to as that. He's streaky. You never know when it's going to be his night. Against OKC, he played 32 minutes, 21.5 points. When he played 26 minutes against Cleveland, 7 points. And then 28 minutes he had against the Lakers, 23 points. So it's really just something to keep an eye on. It's streaky. It's not pretty. But he is someone who you know can get you some points with the right matchup. You're going to want to play matchups dependent for him. If he has a tougher matchup like New Orleans, number three and number two against small forwards. Number three against small forwards and number two against power forwards. Had an awful game. But Lakers, number 12 and number 10, regard overall against his position that he plays, number 23. Of course, a better game's going to be had. So definitely he's a matchup-dependent kind of player, but he is someone that you can keep your eye on and take a look at. I really like that move. We saw some moves. I picked up Simon Fontio. I was kind of looking at just deeper guys. Who was putting up points? Who just was randomly getting an opportunity? Who was getting minutes all of a sudden at the beginning of the week? And then I found this guy who I wasn't very familiar with. Second-year player, Simon Fontecchio. He is carving out a role. He has really carved out a meaningful role with Lauri Markkanen out, and he's gotten his opportunity. 27-year, second-year player, second-year forward. He just does well when he's on the floor. When he gets 25 minutes, he gets double-digit points. I really like him on my bench. His usage rate is great, 16.4%. His plus-minus, minus 2.2. He's averaging 16.8 minutes, 7.2 points, 2.4 boards, 0.9 assists, 0.4 steals, 0.3 blocks per game, while he shoots 45% from the floor and 40% from beyond the arc. Those are great numbers, and that's exactly what you want. He's been on a little bit of a heater since Markkanen been out. 27 minutes, 33, 25, 28. In those games, the last four games, 12 fantasy points, 19, 18, 18 and a half. I have actually fired him up because I was really disappointed with Pascal Siakam's week. I am playing him today with the likelihood that I'm going to lock him in today, Saturday. So I'm really excited for him. I hope that this continues and that he just carves out a meaningful kind of sixth, seventh man role. Classic Stripe actually changed their name as well to the Grannies. We all love that. So that was pretty funny. So I think my Simon Fontecchio move is solid. And then we just saw another trade. Classic Stripe, or AKA the Grannies, now put up Lauri Markkanen and Kristaps Porzingis on the block. And they actually got Scoot and a 2024 second for Lauri Markkanen, which makes sense. Lauri has been playing out of his mind. But Scoot's also a very high-end rookie, which makes this deal hard to believe that that's all that he wanted was just Lauri Markkanen for someone like Scoot Henderson. And then we saw another big trade go down between Pooch and Lord Sage. Who else? Discount Presti. Pooch received James Harden, Onyeka Okongwu, Evan Mobley, and a 2024 third, and he sent Anthony Edwards and Tomari Kamara. Seems like like an eh deal. I don't love it. We're going to analyze these couple trades here in a minute. Bobby Portis was dropped after that trade. Of course, Bobby Portis, a very solid role player there in Milwaukee. When he gets starter minutes, he can put up a decent fantasy night for guys. 25 minutes, he's a solid role player. He's been reclaimed. Lord Sage picked him up. Good move. Then we saw a really big trade. I was actually in on this trade, and this was a huge one. I got De'Aaron Fox, DeAndre Hunter from Atlanta, Anthony Edwards, Santi Aldama, and Franz Wagner. All I had to give up was Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Williams, OKC, Brandon Miller, and Derek Lively. So I traded my youth for slightly more established youth. Then I had to do some random stuff, whatever. Lord Sage picked up Grayson Allen. And then I changed my name, and I think this name is great. Fox and the Fury Ant. Hey. Fox and the Fury Ant. Because, like, facts, Fast and the Furious. Yeah, you get it. So, anyways, I had ChatGPT. So that's where we'll get into this. And then we'll move on into our rookies and our prospects and things like that for sake of time. So I had to analyze the John Morant trade. John Morant, it says, a young, highly dynamic guard with significant upside in both scoring and playmaking. He's a cornerstone player in dynasty formats due to his age and potential. Russell Westbrook, an experienced player with history of high production. However, his value may be declining due to age and recent performance trends. Cam Johnson, a solid role player. If he gets more playing time, develop further. 2026 second round pick. Draft picks can be valuable, but a second rounder is typically less impactful than a first. Conclusion, this trade seems to favor the side receiving John Morant, especially in dynasty formats where long-term potential is key. Morant's youth and growing skill set offer high-value Westbrook, while once elite, may not maintain his peak performance. And Johnson, though promising, isn't on the same level as Morant. The draft pick adds potential value, but may not offer the immediate and long-term benefit of acquiring Morant. Then we'll go into the scoop. The trade seems to be more potential versus proven performance. If Henderson develops well, this trade could favor the side receiving him in the draft pick, particularly in a dynasty format focusing on long-term potential. However, if immediate production is a priority, Markkanen's established role and consistent performance may be more beneficial. The value of the trade could depend significantly on how Henderson's career progresses. Then the Harden and Edwards trade. This trade balances immediate impact, Harden and potential Okonkwo Mobley against a budding superstar Edwards. It seems favorable for the team receiving Harden, Mobley, and Okonkwo, considering the blend of proven talent and promising youth. The trade-off is losing Edwards, whose long-term upside is considerable. The success of this trade might depend on Harden's continued performance and Mobley's development. I think Mobley's established, but of course there's always room to grow as pros. And then lastly, my trade. Conclusion, this trade seems to favor the side receiving the established players, especially considering Edwards and Fox's current value. However, it's a riskier move as it trades away high-potential young talent. The success of the trade could ultimately depend on how well the prospects, Holmgren and Banchero, develop and fulfill their potential. In a dynasty league, the long-term development of these young prospects can be particularly crucial. So, we're going to just see what happens. A lot of value. It was a big trade. Lord Sage and Dennis Dang, Brandon Miller, Derek Lively, Isaiah Joe, Grayson Allen, Jalen Williams, Dario Saric, Tumani Kamara, Josh Giddey. Putting more stuff up there. I'm particularly not talking about Josh Giddey since he's still playing and there's an ongoing investigation. I fully believe there is probably something here. However, I don't know. None of us know. And I really think that part of my... Why can't I think of his name? Anyways, I can't think of what's his name. The coach. Whatever the coach's name is. I can't think of his name right now. But he said, we don't know until we know. So stop talking about it until you know. Andrew Bogut's made comments. So, Papa Mutombo picked up Jamal Kane, Miami small forward. Not really getting a lot of opportunity. Second-year player out of Marquette. We'll see. He's a wait-and-see. He's definitely behind Butler, Duncan, guys like that. I finally dropped Lonnie Walker. I did it. I had to. Gabe Vincent was dropped. Bobby Portis picked up, of course. Mortiz Wagner picked up for Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis here. Again, just a second-year role player at Alabama for the Kings. There's not much value there right now. He's definitely behind Fox, Monk, their other guard, Herter, right? Yeah, Herter. Assuming Dieng was dropped by the jury. Depth power forward piece for the OKC Thunder. Obviously, we have to keep our eyes on Thunder's players because they have so much depth and talent. You never know when they're going to make a bigger trade to offload some of it and picks to get a superstar. The jury picked back up Killian Hayes. He was someone I was going to talk about later. He's starting again and getting starter minutes. So when he starts, he can be valuable. He's just so streaky and inconsistent. 6'5 point playing alongside Kane Cunningham there. I just can't. There's value to be had in Detroit with players, but I just can't. I repicked up Ayo Dosunmu, someone I've been back and forth with a lot this year. Let's see. I drafted him, dropped him, added him on the 15th. Or hold on, this has been a wild ride for this dude in our league. I drafted him in the 17th round, dropped him on the 26th. He was added by Lord Sage on the 28th, dropped on the 1st. I added him again on the 14th once the LaVine rumor started to swirl. Dropped him again on the 14th. So I picked him up and dropped him right away, probably for someone else I liked more or I had an injury. Picked him back up on the 15th. Dropped him on the 16th. Added him on December 1st. Like, this dude's been on and off my roster, but I really think I'm going to hold on to him. Dosunmu, someone you definitely want to go and see if he's available in your leagues for Dynasty because of all the rumors with LaVine, which we're going to talk about in a second. DeRozan, Caruso, someone that's going to be a major benefactor from those guys possibly being moved. So, going to move off of this now. Let's jump into just three pieces of news and a couple rumors real quick, and then we'll jump into our prospects. So, Cuban, this is a big deal, actually, and we have to treat it as such because it's going to impact the Mavericks. If you didn't see, Mark Cuban sold a majority stake in the Mavericks for $3.5 billion after purchasing that team for like 220-something million. He purchased it for millions, sold it for billions. Just huge move for him overall. But he remains as the president of basketball operations, knowing how smart Cuban is. He loves this team. He loves his franchise. I would assume he wrote it into his contract that he's in this position until he proves otherwise incapable, which would just be my guess. But that's actually a huge deal for the Mavericks. Going into new ownership, I'm sure they'll be like, hey, Cuban, like, y'all got to pay. Y'all got to get some. I know you got money. You just bought this team. So make sure you put the money back into this team kind of thing. They definitely need it. They need it to keep growing, not go crazy with payroll or anything. Granted, there's a salary cap in the NBA, taxes and things like that. You don't want to hit those. But kind of where that's at. Let's see. Next. LaVine is being reported as having no market. No one wants Zach LaVine for a couple reasons. His contract is atrocious. His annual average jumps to like $40 million for the next 2 years after this year. That's awful. Especially for a player with no production. That's the second problem here, is that he's not producing at the level that we want him to be producing to be a $40 million player. So, teams are out. They're like, no way. You keep that hot mess express to yourself. However, let's talk DeRozan. Let's talk Caruso. Much friendlier contracts to try to trade for. But the Bulls are demanding top kind of dollar kind of players. Austin Reeves from the Lakers. Tyler Hero from the Heat. Like, they're asking for these big name stars in return for their big name stars. But DeRozan has already said, come out and said, I prefer the Knicks to the Heat if y'all are going to trade me. So just trade me if y'all are going to do that. So, I think those are the big ones. I can't really think of anything else. Of course, there's probably more, but I don't want to spend too much time on the news. I really want to get into our prospect preview and continue this going in our rookie reviews and our sophomore slumps or not, because, of course, in Dynasty, we're looking long term. Next week, I think I'm going to talk some redraft and talk the redraft league I'm in as well. just kind of give you guys an idea for redraft. Even though mine isn't the best, it's a smaller league. Definitely would like it to be like a 12-team league kind of thing, different format, but I'm not the commissioners. All right, prospect preview. Last week, you're going to have to go back and listen. I talked about Alex Sarr, center from the NBL France, guard Ron Holland from the G League Ignite, guard Matas Bazulis, G League Ignite, Zachary Reiser, France, and Isaiah Collier, USC. At the time, about a week ago, these guys were probably projected to be your top five picks, with Sarr, Holland, and Bazulis somewhere in the mix for number one. I still truly think that Sarr is the number one pick in this draft, but things change, continue to change. It's a very fluid environment this time of year as we jump into college basketball season. Very exciting. So the first one we're going to look at today, as I said last week, we're going to look at guard Justin Edwards out of Kentucky. 6'8 forward. He's been up and down draft boards. He's been in the top 10 to the top 20. He's all over the place. Why is he all over the place? Well, a couple reasons. The freshman wing at Kentucky, he's a high-level athlete. Think Benedict Mathurin, who is just a freak athlete. And he's a nightmare defensively when he's matched up with you. Think Jaden McDaniels, the Timberwolves kind of guy. However, the handle and the shot need plenty of work, especially for a guard. The shot's not consistent enough to be a 3-and-D type of guard. He can finish plays when he's out in transition. He plays amazing defense. He can switch 1 through 4 defensively, which I think is enough to land him 15 through 20 in the draft. If the shot develops this year, he could definitely go 10 to 15, maybe even 7 to 12. Next, Stephen Castle, the 6'6 guard at a UConn. He's often compared to Jimmy Butler. He's automatic from mid-range. He's physical on defense. He's strong. He has excellent passing ability. He currently has a top 10 pick projection, and I don't hate it. I think he's definitely right up there guard-wise out of college with Isaiah Collier. Tyrese Proctor, second-year guard out of Duke, the 6'5 guard out of Duke. He's entering, of course, like I said, second season. He's nothing special. Of course, he's a NBA caliber prospect, so of course, yes, he's special talent-wise than myself. I'm sitting behind a microphone talking about him. But he's nothing to the point where scouts are drooling over him like, oh my God, I want him so bad on my team. However, he's mature. He's a second-year player, so he's going to have a little bit more maturity than your typical one-and-done kind of player, especially in Duke, that great system. He has great decision-making ability with the ball. He's a shifty ball handler. He has vision off the dribble. And he just has a very, very good, well-rounded skill set that I think can land him 10 to 12, no later than 15 in the draft. Hold on 1 second. Anyways, so like I was saying about Proctor, he's just very well-rounded, very solid. I think NBA teams would be well-suited to go with a solid point guard and with a top 15 pick. I think there's tremendous upside. There's development here. The skill sets already has a foundation, so the floor is high. I think the ceiling's not massive when it comes to like Sarr or someone, but or Collier, where the ceiling's just exponential. But I think this guy has star ability. Solid top 12 pick. Next, we got DJ Wagner, the combo guard out of Kentucky. He's likely to be a one-and-done type of player. He's fallen on draft boards. I have seen him in the top 10 on some boards and some mocks. Even just last week, I saw him in the top 10 on some mocks. But he's fallen to the end of the first. So he's somewhere between 10 and 30. He has a ton of burst. He's shifty. He's quick. He gets to his spots. He knows his spots. Think Cole Anthony. He's a 6'4 combo guard, so guard, he can play the 1-2, possibly switch off on threes occasionally. But he's also really struggled with his decision making. Sometimes he tries to force himself to his spots, but that's not his spot. When he knows he's for sure at his spot, that's his spot for sure, no doubt whatsoever. So definitely something just to keep an eye on. remember DJ Wagner, someone who I probably, when you're thinking rookie draft, he's probably going to be a second round pick. These guys I've mentioned before, these are all some of your first round picks. Saar, Holland, Bezulis, Reicher, Collier, Edwards, Castle, Proctor, Wagner. These are some of the guys who are going to be your, or not Wagner, before Wagner, these are some of the guys who are going to be your first round picks in rookie drafts. So guys to keep your eye on. Donovan Klingon, UConn, 7'2 center. He's coming off a summer foot injury, but again, he looks good again this year. He plays to his strengths all the time. Around the rim, he gets boards, he uses his size. He's not a skinny 7'2", he's a built 7'2". He has strength beyond those compared to him. See a lot of guys coming to college, one and done guys going to the NBA from the G League or whatever. They're lanky, they're small, they don't have the size to just get going year one. But I think Klingon, one of those guys who could really come into a team wherever he's drafted and be a production monster off the bench. Boards, points, blocks. He uses his strides, his size, his strength, and he's a great anticipation around the rim for defense. Doesn't foul a lot, plays clean ball. He's just smart. He's a smart player. He can pick and roll for days, so if he's with the right guard, he's an automatic bucket, and he can shut down the paint on defense. Like, shut it down. Like, he switches. Like, you, when you watch, like, Rudy Gobert play, he's switching. He's from one key, one block to the next block to the top of the key and back and just back and forth and just shuts it down. Eyes always moving. Great defender. I really like clinging in the top 15 range, which would project him to be a late first or an early second round pick in rookie drafts, which is right where I would personally take him for my team. Next week, we're going to talk Nikola Topic, Jacoby Walter, Carlton Carrington, Kyle Filipowski, and we already talked Tyrese Proctor. So I'll fill this in next week with someone else. But those four for sure, Topic, Walker, Carrington, and Filipowski. Let's jump over to the rookies. So last week we talked rookies. We talked Chet. We talked Wemby. We talked Asar Thompson, Jordan Hawkins, and Derek Lively. This week, we're going to talk... Actually, let's talk them in their fantasy regard. So the first guy we're going to look at is Scoot Henderson. Scoot Henderson, he's just coming back from injury. So he's just... He's been streaky a little bit, hasn't played a ton, played in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games this season over the first 6 weeks. So, Scoot, again, top 30 pick in the NBA draft last week. So, since coming back from his injury, he's played in 27, 16, 21, 21. He hasn't done anything. Of course, the Trailblazers are now getting all their pieces back. So, now they're trying to figure out rotations and trying to keep everyone healthy. Scoot's showing some potential. When he played 27 minutes, he dropped 13 points, 4 boards, 1 assist. 2 turnovers. Next game, 16 minutes, 3 points, 3 boards, 7 assists. But he's not taking shots either. Like, he's 5 for 10, 1 for 7, 1 for 8, 4 for 10. So he's taking shots. He's just streaky with making them. He's capped at 13 points. 27 minutes has been as high. 7 assists has been as high twice. So again, it's inconsistent right now. So definitely continue to look for him to gain more consistency as we develop. As he develops. Next, we're going to look at Brandon Miller. Someone who you heard earlier, I mentioned him in a trade. I definitely took that trade and ran with it. Miller's been getting consistent playing time all season. 33, 24, these are minutes. 33, 24, 35, 33, 25, 36, 9 on the 12th. 31, 30, 33, 27. Didn't play. 32, 31, 39. So since LaMelo got hurt, he's been playing very consistent minutes, starter minutes, right there next to Rozier, Bridges, Hayward, Williams, all those guys. He just hasn't been consistent shooting the ball. He struggled. This last game, he put up 18 points on 7 for 18 shooting. 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 steals. He just needs to do more to fill the rest of the stat sheet to be incredibly valuable and just do it consistently. Like, his best game fantasy-wise was on the 20th against Boston in this last week, where he had 39 minutes, 9 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and 2 turnovers on 4-for-12 shooting. So that was a 20-point fantasy night. That's decent. That's okay. If you're running him in your utility spot, that's kind of what you want. He's had one boom game at 25 points back on the 30th of October. 36 minutes, 22 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, no steals, 1 block, no turnovers on 7-for-16 shooting, 6-for-6 for the line. So obviously it's showing the key for him is getting boards, get to the line, play physical basketball. Don't be afraid, ball out. Next, we're going to look at Amen Thompson, the other Thompson brother. He's been hurt. He's been hurt pretty much all season since the 1st of November. So he hasn't really played. There's not much to talk about for him. Next, Anthony Black. Magic. He, again, someone who just hasn't really gotten tons of opportunity. He's played 30 minutes on the 4th. He's played 32 minutes on the 6th of November. 26 on the 15th of November. The last few games, however, he played 23, 15, 6, 15, 26, 23. So there's an uptick. There's a slight uptick. He just doesn't shoot the ball a lot. Like this last, let's see, the 1st, 23 minutes, 6 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, no steals, 1 block, 1 turnover. 2-for-4 shooting. Like, he just doesn't shoot against Washington on the 29th. 12 fantasy points, 26 minutes, 7 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, no steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers on 3-for-5 shooting. So shoot, dude. Shoot. I mean, of course, I can say that objectively. I'm just here, but he's efficient. He's not inefficient by any means. He just doesn't. There's just no efficiency to be had when he's shooting the ball. Let's see. Who else? So Anthony Black, someone you could probably, he's likely on most teams, but someone you can maybe go and swing a trade for, depending on the uptick in production. I like the minutes increase over the last couple weeks. Like if we look just from the 22nd on, so since week 5, 23, 15, 6, 15, 26, 23, I really like the uptick in minutes. We're seeing a solid 20 minutes a night kind of production. So, again, the opportunity starting to come. He's slowly getting into starting roles. He hasn't made the most of it. He's been in the starting role for... he had a stretch of 6 games, but he hadn't scored more than 25 points. He had scored a total of 25 points in those 6, but that was about 2 weeks ago when he had 6 in a row. So... someone to keep your eye on, someone to look at, someone to consider, maybe swinging a trade for him. Next, we're going to look at Bilal Coulibaly, forward for the Wizards. He's starting to get some minutes. He's been getting minutes all season, actually. Looks like he's been running with the ones. 26 minutes a game, but only 12 fantasy points in those minutes. So he's hurt on Saturday today. He's going to continue to get 27 minutes a game. He can play up to 30, 31, 33, kind of been his max that they've let him play, the rookie. He's been efficient scoring the ball down low over the last 2 weeks, a 2-for-6, a 5-for-7, 6-for-7, 2-for-5, and a 2-for-6. He just hasn't done much else. 4 boards, 5 boards, 5 boards, 3 boards, 0 assists, 1 assist, 2 assists, 2 steals, no steals, 3 steals, 2 steals, no steals, 1 block, no blocks, 1 block. 2 turnovers, 2 turnovers, 2 turnovers, 1 turnover, 1 turnover. So, again, it's just not pretty. It's inconsistent. He just needs to do all the things together on a given night to have the high-end fantasy production that he was drafted to. But, again, someone you can look at in Coulibaly. Jairus Walker. Our next one, Jairus Walker, Indy forward. He was actually put down to the G League for most of the season, but he has returned. While playing in the G League, he put up 20 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block over the Windy City Bulls. He should be available for the Pacers next game. He hasn't been able to carve out a role with this Rick Carlisle-led Pacers team. Of course, they're a really good team with Halley, Mathurian. Like, Mathurian's a solid bench guy for him. Like, they have pieces. They have Turner. Like, it's hard. It's going to be hard for Walker to show out when he doesn't get any opportunity. Like, he's played in 5 games outside of being in the G League for majority of the season. So again, if this is someone whose tape you liked with him in Houston, if you liked what you saw with him at college, go and get your man. Go and get your guy, because he's going to be cheap. You could probably get him for a third round, or he's likely could be on waivers in some dynasty leagues. So go and get your boy if that's your boy and you believe in him. Next week for the rookies, we're going to look at Taylor Hendricks, Utah, Cason Wallace, OKC, Jet Howard, Orlando, Grady Dick, Toronto, and Kobe Bufkin, Atlanta. And we're going to jump into our sophomore slump before we jump into the injury fill-ins. We're going to make this quick. So let's look at our sophomore slumps. We're going to head over to my favorite website, Basketball Reference. Let's keep it here. Let's actually keep it from a fantasy point, because that's just talking. Yeah, let's just keep it here. We're going to the first. So last week on this segment, we talked Paolo Banchero, Jabari Smith Jr., Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, and Benedict Mathurian. Benedict Mathurian's a baller. I got to watch him play a lot this week. Was watching those Pacers games, and dude's a stud. 100% could be in the mix for Sixth Man of the Year this year. I would not doubt it. But we're gonna look into the first guy. We're going to check into is Shaedon Sharpe, combo guard out of Kentucky for the Blazers. Last year, let's see, game log, 23, 22, 20. I wish it said the average. It doesn't tell me the averages. Let's see, so far this year, he's playing in 36 minutes, 17 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers, 18 fantasy points a night. Definitely someone you probably want to have check. He's getting regular starter minutes. I see lots of green since coming back and being worked. Oh no, that's last year. My bad. He's been starting in he's played in every single game. He's almost played nearly 30 minutes except for a 24 and a 26. He plays 30 to 40 minutes a game. Like, dude's an iron horse for them. An iron man, iron horse. What? He fills the stat sheet. I just see green and yellow up and down his stats. Very similar to last year, just lots of green and yellow. Once he really got it going, he didn't really get his stuff going consistently until it looked probably week 23 when he was really moved into a consistent starter role. So he came on late. Last year, he didn't come on explode until March of last year. So the uptick toward the end of last season when he was given the opportunity has absolutely transitioned into this year. Absolutely no slump for Shaedon on this one. Next we have Dyson Daniels. He's a big man for the, I want to say Pelicans. Yep, for the Pelicans. Last year, He played sparingly. He didn't get a ton of opportunity. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games total last year where he played over 30 minutes. Outside of that, he had his best fantasy points day. Looked like it was a 21 points against Miami in January. 25 against Toronto in November of last year. And that's his best. So very sparse opportunity for him last year for Dyson Daniels. Has he taken a leap forward? I see more minutes, a 31, a 40, a 31, a 37, 33, 28, 33, 28. The last couple weeks, he has taken a downtick, 24, 11, 14, 23. So the minutes are going down because the production is just not there. I see one double-double. I see one double-digit rebounding game on this season, and I see 6 double-digit point games so far this season. So that's not what you want from your guard. Rebounds, yeah. Sorry, I thought Dyson Daniels was a big. He's a guard. They have a lot of guards in New Orleans. So that rotation's kind of crazy. It's probably hard to get playing time, make playing time, and find playing time for all these guys. So Dyson Daniels, I wouldn't say is looking like a sophomore slump. It's just a sophomore slump because he doesn't get any opportunity. He's benched. McCollum's is in front of him. He has other guys in front of him. He has a rookie this year that's outperforming him. He just does not perform at all. So it's really hard. He's shooting 21% from the floor this year, 0% from beyond the arc. Of course, he has Alvarado, Hawkins, McCollum all in front of him. He's a multi-categorical contributor, so if you play in category leagues at all, someone who may be of value in category leagues, but outside of that, I wouldn't even roster him. So I would say he's our first official sophomore slump of the season. Next is Sochan. Jeremy Sochan, the guard forward in San Antonio. He did not play consistently at all last year. Sparse opportunity, even down the stretch. I believe he was hurt. His best stretch of games looked like actually coming from about December to February. He played in a solid stretch. I see lots of green, lots of yellow minutes. So he was playing significant 25-plus minutes a night. Wasn't bad. Minutes this year have been much better. He's been their starting point guard, which I don't understand. I just don't get it. Don't get it. But Pop is sticking with it. From a statistics perspective, he's having great games, very sporadic games right now. He just put up 33 points in a game against Atlanta on the 30th with 8 boards, 6 assists, and a steal, 5 turnovers, though. The turnovers have been the biggest problem, but when you're trying to learn how to play point guard as a big, it's going to not look great. So we'll see what the second-year man out of Baylor keeps doing. I would say he's increasing production with the new role and just looking better. We talked a little bit about Johnny Davis earlier, so I won't spend too much time on him. I would say this is a slump because he last couple weeks last season he played starter minutes. That's hard because the Wizards were already in garbage time, so it's like, we'll let the rookie play. He could get points. He was having solid games, fantasy games. He looked really good. This year, he hasn't gotten any opportunity, so I would definitely say he's in a slump because he's just not being given any opportunity to do so. So that's our sophomore slumps this year. So we had 2 slumps. Dyson Daniels is our first slump of the year that we can declare, and then Johnny Davis, our next sophomore slump as well. Next week we're going to look into Osme Dieng, Jalen Williams, OKC, Jalen Duran, Detroit, Ochi Ajabi, Cleveland, and Mark Williams, Charlotte. So let's go into our last segment to where we're going to talk about some injuries and some injury fill-ins. So we have a ton of injuries right now across the NBA. LaMelo Ball, he's out for a few weeks with an ankle. He's not reevaluated until the 7th. Jalen Johnson's out. Xavier Tillman's back, actually. Marcus Smart is still out. Tyler Hero's out. Bradley Beal's out. Keegan Murray's out. Ben Simmons out. Cam Thomas is out. Lots of guys are out.
lots of guards.
A lot of guys are out right now. So we really need to find guys who can give us 15 to 20 fantasy points a night that we can just go out there, plug in, and hope for the best. First guy I got for you, Grayson Allen. He's obviously picked up in our league. He's rostered in probably about 48, 49% of leagues. He averages about 15.2 fantasy points a night. Kevin Knox, Detroit, rostered in 13%, 15.1 fantasy points a night. Killian Hayes, someone to go and check out. Obviously, he's rostered in ours, but 14.8 fantasy points a night. DeAndre Jordan is a break glass in case of emergency type of player only on the back of your bench. When he gets opportunity, if Jokic and Gordon miss time, he can be valuable. If not, leave him on waivers until you know about that, if they're missing time. Alec Burks, Detroit, again, rostered in 29.1%, 13.6 fantasy points. Precious Achiuwa, Toronto, rostered in 39.6, averaging 13.1 fantasy points. And then Martinez Wagner, rostered in 41.1, averaging 12.8 fantasy points. And let me just look into this real quick, again, in our league to double check this for you guys. See if there's anybody else that I could think of that we can just look. Let's look at season average on stats. So, of course, now, of course, you got Lonnie Walker available in. He's rostered in 48.8, so 13.7 fantasy points. He's also hurt. Precious Achiuwa, Jay Crowder, he's hurt. Robert Covington, rostered in 25.9, 12.2 fantasy points a night. You got Alec Burks, Jonathan Isaac, 12 points a night. Sasha Hauser, 17.9% of leagues rostered, 11.9 fantasy points. Then we have Derek Jones, Dallas, rostered in 17.8% of leagues, 11.8 fantasy points. Mays and Drummond round out our top 10. Drummond, 31.5% of leagues rostered, 11.7. Drummond can still low-key get it done randomly. He'll explode for a double-digit, a double-double. You never know when it's going to come, but he can still get it done. So those are just some guys to keep your eyes on. If you need just some depth on your bench, you're getting little to no production out of some of these rookie second-year guys. Third-year guys, then drop them and get someone that you know can give you points in case of an emergency. So that's kind of where we're at. Some guys you can look to plug in, possibly look at them. They may be out there. It could really help your team. We definitely want to get you guys help with those teams. So thank you for listening. Leo says thank you, apparently. Ringo says thank you as well. This is a dog. See? Yep, he keeps barking saying thank you. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys. And we'll catch you next week right here on Ball Boy Talk, the Unhinged Sports Podcast, as we talk more about Dynasty Down Unders with the Blue Ballers. Thank you.